Thanks, John. We have probably 3 or 4 minutes before lunch. I'd like to just summarize one more thing before we leave, much as what John has said. Want me to try that? Sorry, Brent. You'll do first. So again, somehow what we've tried to talk about this morning is that in a laser beam, one has a situation where one is able to put the light quanta all into the same wave with all the same phase. And so there's this tremendously intense wave that can come out at you within the laser situation. What's remarkable is that within electron systems, we now have systems that know how to do this with, in a sense, electrons. And they do this by pairing the electrons. And so in at least the superconductors we've talked to you about so far, the electrons seem to be paired spin up, spin down. So the net pair carries no spin. The old-fashioned or low-temperature superconductors paired in a state where the electron internal wave function was spherical, much like I'm holding here, except in a hydrogen atom, this might be half an angstrom, an angstrom. In lead, the size of the pair wave function might be 1,000 angstroms. So a big difference there. But they could then condense, meaning the center of mass motion of these could all be the same, so that the wave describing how the center of mass moved would be this one wave that has this property we got at by turning on magnetic fields, so we could twist it, we could ask how it connected, but internally the pair looked like this. In these new materials, of which, as John said, there are probably up to at least 20 different varieties, they all have this copper oxygen layer, but some of them have different structural pieces between them. Somehow within this copper oxygen layer, what seems to be happening is the pair internal wave function of the two electrons takes on an orbital of this symmetry that changes sign around it. It has a center of mass motion, just as in the other superconductors. That's what locks and condenses and gives its marvelous long-range superconducting properties. But what John showed you was that he could measure the fact that the internal wave function looked like this. Maybe the final thing to say is there are yet other materials. Helium-3. Helium-4 is the well-known helium that John told you he had 3 feet of in this Dewar. And below 2.7 degrees, I believe, somewhere in there, it condenses also into a very special superfluid state, and it can flow without resistance. It's the Bose particles of helium. But there's something called helium-3, and helium-3 has, I can get this right, it has 2 protons and 1 neutron in it, and it has 3 fermions in it. And it's not a Bose particle. Helium was. So helium-3 is more like the electrons, and it takes a pair of the helium-3 atoms to go superconducting. And they do at around, depends on the pressure, but 2 to 3 millikelvin. And they form in a wonderful state called a P wave with plus minus lobes, and their center of mass does this same long-range ordering we were talking about and flows without resistance. And so we know about a number of these systems, of which we were to go finally before lunch to one more system. Bob Schrieffer, who is one of the discoverers of superconductivity, has a marvelous graph he often shows when the ITC materials were first found, and someone said, well, they may be different than the Bardeen-Cooper-Schrieffer theory. He showed a plot with a thermometer, and it went down to 2 millikelvin, which was helium-3. It went up to 4 to 10 to 20 degrees, which were the old superconductors. Then he put on the high TCs at wherever we are, 100 to 160. And then he put on neutron stars. And the idea is that in neutron stars, we believe that in the core, under great pressure, that the neutrons themselves go into a superfluid state. And of course, that energy was up at millions of electron volts. And Bob's point here was one that is why the argument last week when we had the conference is so important to us. Bob's point is that something discovered to explain low temperature behavior of lead and mercury and aluminum, this theory of superconductivity that Bardeen, Schrieffer, and Cooper discovered, seems so far to have an incredible reach. It may change, we may find new theories, but in some ways the exciting part of theories, when we find they work, is how far they reach, in the sense of from millikelvin up to the energies typically in neutron stars. We find that exciting. What perhaps is more exciting is I think the speakers have names at tables and visitors who, again, I should introduce, you will meet them, but Catherine, if you could stand up, Catherine Callan, John Berlinski, Matthew Fisher. Matthew is at the ITP and is a professor in the physics department, is central to our university. Catherine and John come from McMaster's. Catherine is heading up the four-week study program here, and we're so glad they could join us. Bob Laughlin's in the back. You'll hear him talk later. Paul Grant is in the back. And we're just going to spread out so we have a chance to visit with you over lunch, and we have lunch.